And I thought how that, you know, we can hear truth and taught and we can read it in the Word of God, but when we know it down in our hearts, that's where it really works. Then we know that it works. We know that it's real because it, as Brother Mark said, we know that it's real because it works. And I'm glad that I have it in my heart. Not just a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge and a heart desire. That's very valuable and very important to us. I'd like to desire your prayers for this little message this morning. I'd like to read a verse of scripture. It's found in 2 Timothy 3:16. I'll read the last two verses there. 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. You know, God was a God of order. When I look out on His creation and I see how that He created the world, put the sun where He wanted it to be and the moon and stars and so forth, that was a long time ago and they're still there today. He works in order that's not temporary. When God does something, He wants to do something permanent, and that includes you and I. When He works in our hearts and our lives, He wants to make a permanent difference. He wants to make Himself known to us in ways that we've never known Him before. And I find that because the God that we serve and know this morning is a God of order, that when we stay in the place that He wants us to be and we're in order, then we don't limit God in what He wants to do with us and for us. But I believe I've seen, and you probably have too, times when people were out of order and God wasn't able to do what He wanted to do. Jonah got out of order one time and he headed the wrong way and tried to run away from God, but God reined him back in and turned him around. And that's what He has to do for you and I. We get out of place sometimes, and God in His love and in His mercy to us reaches out, turns us around, and sends us back in the direction that we're supposed to go. Because the Scripture plainly says it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And I believe that goes for you and I this morning too. We say, well, you know, we're saved. Well, that's wonderful. That's even more the reason why we need the Lord to direct our steps. If we know the Lord this morning, then we find the value in allowing Him to direct our steps. And this Scripture said that the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable. It's profitable for several things here. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And my little message this morning is about following instructions. You know, I found sometimes that people, you don't really need to tell them what to do. They know what to do. It's just a matter of fact that they're not willing to follow the instructions. I think about the children of Israel when they got in the wilderness, wandering around pretty much aimlessly, and Moses was having so much trouble with them, that God in His love to His people, He gave them a set of instructions. Of course, we know them as the Ten Commandments. And the Bible calls them the Ten Commandments, doesn't it? It doesn't say the Ten Suggestions. They were commandments. They were instructions given to them by God that he expected them to follow. And in reality, what he gave them was a government. That's what the Ten Commandments were. They were a government. He gave them a government that they might be able to govern themselves, govern their lives, govern their actions. God gave them a government whereby to live by. And God still has a government for you and I today. Jesus came along and he sat down and even more, if I can say, intensified an even more pure and a more holy type of government that not only deals with the outward manifestations of the flesh, but it deals with the inward man. It deals with our inward soul. It's important to us that we allow the Lord to have government in our life. I thought about I believe it was a parable that Jesus was given, and he sent his son or someone over to these folks, and what they cried out was, they said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." You know, that tells me something, and folks, every one of us, we all fit in this. We all, unless God has really given us special grace and victory over it, don't like someone else telling us what to do. I feel like I'm intelligent enough or smart enough that I know what I'm supposed to do, see? And therefore, a lot of times when instruction comes, even if it's from God, we resist that. God is here this morning, today, to tell us what to do. I thought about, sometimes we'll buy new things at home and they have to be put together. Well, I was a millwright, which is a skilled tradesman for about almost 30 years. And I worked a lot on machinery, and I'm familiar with tools and nuts and bolts and chains and conveyors and belts and pulleys and all those kind of things. So a lot of time, well, most times, and you're probably like, well, some are different, but whenever I purchase something at the store that needs to be put together, I just get it out of the box and start putting it together. My wife will look at that and she'll shake her head and she'll say, "I don't know why you do that. There's a set of instructions right here." And I tell her that I will go to the instructions whenever I find that I have a problem getting these pieces together. If I can't do it on my own, then I'll read the instructions. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, when it comes to your personal walk with the Lord, you can't do it on your own. We fully need His instructions. We fully need His guidance. And the Word said that's what the Scripture, that's what the Word is given to us for. We can't do it on our own. There have been times, and sometimes us macho men, we don't like to admit it, but there's been several times I've had to fall back on the instructions. I'm glad they were there. And you know, sometimes, as you well know, things that you get today, even with instructions, it's hard to put them together. But instructions, following instructions, that's pretty simple, isn't it? It's pretty simple, following instruction. Well, the Scripture is given to us that we might have a good spiritual walk with the Lord, a good spiritual life, that we might be like Christ. I believe that's our heart's desire today, is to be like Christ. And you know, if we'll follow His instructions, if we'll follow His example and follow His life, we can be like Him. Because God told Paul, and I believe it's for you and I too, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Our weakness is when we endeavor to try to do it ourselves and we leave out the instructions of God. I brought a message at home one time and I said, there's a key that will unlock God's heart. There's a key that you can unlock God's heart with. And it's not faith. And it's not love. It's not even humility. But it is obedience, folks. Obedience is better than sacrifice. When we obey the Word of God, God loves that. Because then He knows that we are not resisting by our will, but we are humbly and willingly accepting what He has to tell us to show us the way to heaven. There ain't a one of us here this morning that knows how to get to heaven without following the instructions that we have before us here this morning. Obedience. God loves obedience. And I can remind you about Saul. He got in trouble because he wasn't obedient. The Lord told him to go out and destroy. Destroy. Don't take any spoils. Don't take anything. Destroy. But he brought some of the animals back. He brought the king back. But the instructions were to destroy. Folks, the instructions today for every one of us is for us to destroy those weaknesses, those things that would hinder us in our walk with the Lord. He told Joshua over there when they got into the land of Canaan, he said, every place that the sole of your foot touches, every ground that the sole of your foot touches, I'm going to give it to you. Well, that ground is our humanity. It's us. And folks, we got to put our foot down on us sometimes, don't we? We've got to, Sister Catherine Williams said, if we weren't living in the flesh, the devil wouldn't have anything to work with. So we've got to put our foot down on us, and we need the instructions or the directions of God's Word to teach us how to do that. And it's only to our soul's detriment if we resist that, if we balk at that. Sometimes, as maybe I said this yesterday, it might be a little strong, it might be a little hard, but God can help you if you're willing, if you humble yourself and you're willing to receive that. It takes a humble heart to receive the Lord this morning. It takes a humble heart. It takes the spirit of meekness. And then I thought about disobedience. We can get in a lot of trouble with disobedience. When the Lord told Joshua to go over there and take Jericho. Was it Jericho? Is that where Achan showed up? Ai. Thank you. Yeah, but the battle was before that where he took the stuff, wasn't it? That's what I want. When they was fighting the battle of Jericho, God told them not to take any of these things. But Achan, he saw this Babylonian garment, and he saw some of this, I think it was money, and he took it and hid it in his tent. And they had just, the children of Israel just won a great battle there because they did everything God told them to do. They did it the way that He told them to do it. And then they went out to fight Ai, which was a very small people. So I think they sent like 300 people out there. It's not going to take many. We'll be able to defeat them with just a small group of soldiers. But when they went out there, they ended up running. Ai put them on the run. And there was a reason for that. Because someone had disobeyed. Someone did not follow the instructions that God had given. Folks, when I look at the church, when I look at the prosperity of God's people, it takes every one of us pulling together, every one of us following the instructions. I told some folks one time in another part of the country, I said, folks, they came to me and they made some remarks about needing certain things. I said, you people know what you need to do. You just need to do it. A lot of times that's just what it is. We know what we need to do, but we back up on it or resist it in one way, and we just are not willing to do it. Lord, help us this morning to be willing to do it. It's going to take your part. It's going to take my part. It's going to take every one of us pulling together in harmony and unity that the church of God will be the church. Will be the light and the example in the world that is around us today. And it's going to take us following the instructions that God gives us. He doesn't change them for you. He doesn't change them for me. I come up against things. I've come up against things in my life, and it was very hard for me. Something maybe that I love dearly, but God required that thing. Dear ones, it's time to give it up. It's time to give it to the Lord for the good of my soul, for the good of the church, the prosperity of the kingdom. But we get sometimes, well, that's really not for me. I don't have to do that. We live in a world today. I don't have to do that. You may have to do that, but I don't have to do that. I'm finding, and we're finding today, that God has been faithful to come along and deal with every one of us. And God has shown, He shows every one of us places in our life. He shows every one of us things that He requires of us and things that we need to do. And folks, it is a dangerous thing, I want to say this morning, it's a dangerous thing when we override the convicting Spirit of God. It's a dangerous thing to override the convictions that God may place upon our hearts and go and do what we want to do anyhow. There's a lack of meekness. There's a lack of humility. There's a scripture that says, if I build again the things I once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. I marvel today. I think the Revelation says something about the devil's been turned loose. I marvel today at things that people bring to me, the things that I hear and also things that I know and see with my own eyes that folks are doing that they once had conviction on that it was wrong to do. I wonder, it makes me think of Achan. It makes me think that when people know, they once had conviction, they once understood. I don't know, I know the devil's been turned loose to deceive too. And it seems like people more and more are being deceived. Well, I once felt this way about it, but I don't feel that way. You know, I've actually had them tell me, well, I'm praying about this thing. Praying about something that they had victory over 20 years ago, and they're praying about it now. Oh, our flesh is so strong, folks. The old flesh wants to rise out, that, as the brother said, the pride of the eyes, the pride of life, and all this, the lust of the flesh. Folks, it's reaching out today. We're living in that time. We're living in a very dangerous time. It's all around us today. And why would we need to pray? Why would we need to seek the Lord about something that we want to bring in our home or something that we want to do when we had conviction on that a long time ago and God had already taught us this is not what we should do? It's a dangerous thing to override your convictions. It causes you to be lost. It can cause you to be deceived and cause you to be lost. God loves obedient children. But I want to go back to Saul. When Samuel came, Saul just insisted, I did everything that you told me to do. I did everything you told me to do. And of course, you know the story that Samuel says, then what meaneth the bleeding of the sheep? And then Saul began to say, well, the people. You know, the people, they pressed upon me and we brought the good of the flock back for a sacrifice. You know, right here is where we can get in trouble with God. I remember what Jesus told the Pharisees one time, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Somehow or another, Saul justified. He justified his actions that the people pressed upon me. But folks, no matter how we try to justify what we want to do, the plain and simple fact of the matter is the Word of God sets down the instructions of holy living, of righteous living. It says instruction in righteousness. And folks, when they have this thing out there, what would Jesus do? Folks, Jesus was, it said in Him there was no guile. He was clean. He was pure. He was born of the Holy Ghost. Folks, we are to be like Him. And the only way to do that is to follow the instructions that's given to us in the Word of God. Not right over them. Not back up on them. Because it doesn't only, you see, it doesn't only hinder you. It doesn't only affect you. It affects the church. It affects your congregation. It affects the congregation. Next thing you know, the pastor has to deal with someone that's finding fault with things all the time. And the reason why they're finding fault with things all the time is because their experience, with their own personal experience with the Lord, is backing up. They've been overriding their convictions. That's one of the first ways you can tell somebody's having trouble in their spiritual life is when they start finding fault. They start finding fault. Lord, help us this morning. I'm not up here to be hard or harsh in any way. Not at all. But I do love the church just like you do. I love the body of Christ. He gave His life for it. And it's and this body here, it's the only visible body I know of on this earth. But it's made up of people. People that have a hard time sometimes following instructions. Oh, instructions. Even when you have instructions, sometimes they're hard to follow. You know, you ever got a little bottle at the store with those childproof caps on it and it tell you how to open them up? You still have trouble opening them up? I do. Finally, you figure it out, but they're hard to open sometimes. The instructions on the bottle, how to open it up. Some of them you got to squeeze a little bit. Some of them you got to do one thing or another. But folks, if you follow instructions, it'll open every time. And if we follow the plan of salvation, if we follow it to what we know, it's not like the preacher must get up here and explain all this. I'm talking to people here today that you know what it says. You know what it means. You've heard it time and time again. God help us as human beings to be willing and able to follow the instructions that You've given us. It's just a simple little thought, a simple little message this morning to follow instructions. God, He told Joshua, He's the one that marched around Jericho. I was going to go over and read that, but I'm not going to, but I want to talk about it. And they marched around that 6 days, didn't say a word, never said a word. Just marched around it. Can you imagine? You ever thought about what was going through those people's minds? What are we doing? This seems kind of foolish. This big wall standing up there. They got people on the other side with spears and swords and whatever they fought with then. And we're just walking around. What are we doing this for? This doesn't make any sense. Folks, God doesn't put anything in His Word that He doesn't have a purpose for. He doesn't require anything of you and I that He doesn't have a reason why He requires that. He's a God of order, don't forget. He's got a perfect plan. The plan of salvation was put into place over 2,000 years ago, and it still works for us today, and it'll work for another 2,000 years if the world goes that long. But it's put in here for a reason, not to take up space. Every little thing that you might see, it's put in there for a reason. It may be a caution. Whatever it is, it's put in there for a reason. Walk around there. Just march around Jericho. And then on the seventh day, they had the pitchers with the lamps in the pitchers, I believe it was. And then after they got around there on the seventh day, they were to cry out and they were to break the pitchers. Folks, God wrought them a great victory that day. They just had pitchers and lamps. And we say, what a foolish thing to go out into battle with. You see, we have our human reasoning. And our human reasoning many times gets in the way of us following the instructions that God wants us to follow. Our human reasoning. And I want to say that I believe our human reasoning will fail every time. Whenever it is a matter that God has dealt with us with, a part of the government that He's handed down for you and I to live by, our human wisdom, I don't care how intelligent you are, I don't care how many books you've studied and learned, folks, your human wisdom will fail every time. Man, it said God's ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. God just wants us to follow Him. When Jesus was going around gathering His disciples, He came up to them and He said, follow Me. Follow Me. And then He told you and I to take up the cross and follow Him. And that's what we're going to have to do. You're not going to get there any other way. You're not going to get there without the cross, folks. We've got to take up the cross. Your daily burdens, your daily trial, the place that God has put you, you've got to take up that cross. You've got to die on that cross that you might have victory in your life. Victory in your soul. Following instructions. I like to tell this. A few years back in the 80s, my brother and I went to Kentucky to, I think it was Sister R. Mildred's or Brother or Sam's funeral, my aunt and uncle. They used to be full-time evangelists amongst the church. One of them had passed away, and Charles and I went down there in his little car. And he had a Chevette. And it was a four-speed. So we drove down to Kentucky from Ohio, and we got to the funeral home, and while we were sitting in there just before the service started, the funeral director, he was a big man. Very nice. Guess he didn't have to be, but he was. But he came up to Charles, and he asked him, you know, were we going to go to the graveside? And he said, yes. So he asked him if he could have the keys. He was going to line up the cars while the service was going on. So we went through the service and came out, and we got in the car, and Charles looked over, and that gear shift lever was just flopped over off to the side. We hadn't been in there but just a few. I doubt if we'd been in there a minute. And this funeral director come over there, and he says, "Oh, sir," he said, "I want to apologize. I'm so sorry." He said, "I tried to put your car in reverse, and I couldn't figure out how to do it." And he said, "I pushed it too hard, and I broke the gear shift lever off the transmission, off the gearbox." And so here we are, in line, wanting to go to the graveside, and where he broke it off was in second gear. I don't know what we'd have done if he'd have broke it off in first gear. But he broke it off in second gear, and we was able to move, but not very fast. So what we did was we followed the procession to a certain distance. He told us about a garage that was down the road where we were headed. So we decided that we weren't going to go to the graveside because, you know, we were supposed to go back home and go to work the next day. So we pulled in this little old country garage, all it was, and the fellas put it up on the rack. And they looked at it, and they walk around, and they scratch their head, and they'd look at it a little bit more, and they did that for a while. Finally, one of them come over to my brother, and he said, "Sir," he said, "I'm sorry," he said, "but," he said, "I don't think that we can fix this." He said, "The nearest Volkswagen place that we can get parts is way over in such and such county." Charles looked at me, and I looked at him, and he said, "Sir, that's not a Volkswagen. That's a Chevy Chevette." He said, "Oh." Anyway, we got it. Charles, just bring it down. Just bring it down. So they brought it down off the rack, and we drove it back into Somerset, which is a county, I think it's the county seat of Pulaski. And a pretty good sized little town. And there was a Chevy dealer there. And oh, we were so glad that there was a Chevy dealer there. So we took it to the Chevy dealer. And you know that funeral director says, he said, "I want you to know," he said, "whatever it costs to get it fixed, don't worry about it. I'm going to pay for it." And he said, "If you don't get home tomorrow," he said, "I want you to get a motel. I'll pay for it." He said, "You're probably going to need toothbrushes and shaving equipment, whatever you need." He says, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." And he says, "If you miss work," he said, "I'll take care of your day's wages." Pretty good man, wasn't he? Pretty nice man. So we took it to the garage, found a motel very close, and him and I kind of holed up. The next day, they said it was going to take a while to get the parts. I think it took 2 days, and the third day, we was able to get the car back. The funeral director was as good as his word. So we went over to the Chevy dealer to pick up Charles's little Chevette. And it was parked in a stall where they work on it. So they were kind of nervous. They acted kind of nervous, didn't know what was going on. And finally one of them said, "There's your car." He said, "It's over there." He said, "It's ready to go." Now, I'd assume that they would have brought it out for you to get in and leave. But he said, "It's right over there." It said, "It's finished." So we went over and got in the car. Charles started it up. He put it in reverse and he backed up. And this garage mechanic, he walked over real quick and he stuck his head in the window. He said, "How'd you do that?" He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "How'd you get it in reverse?" And Charles says, "Well, you just push down on the lever and push it back into where it says R." He said, "You know, we've been pushing that thing all over this garage in different stalls trying to work on it because," he said, "we didn't know how to get it in reverse." A big Chevy dealer. And they didn't know how to get it in reverse. We got out of there and Charles looked at me and said, "Pal," he said, "I think you and I need to go back to civilization." That did it. When he stuck his head in there and said, "How'd you do that?" Instructions. It's important that we know how to do that. Especially if we're called, we've heard in this meeting, we've been called to be priests. We're kings and we've been called to be priests. Folks, we need to know how to do that. We don't want to be pushing it all over the garage and scratching our heads. We need to know what is required of us, and not only know, but do it. Follow it. You know what that does? That pleases the Lord to whom you serve. It pleases the Lord. It satisfies Him. It makes Him happy when we follow it. God's love is an unconditional love. Haven't I heard that in this meeting? It's an unconditional love, but I want to tell you something. His laws are unconditional too. He didn't change them for Brother Tony, and he doesn't change them for me, and he won't change them for you. People get their lives in such a mess sometimes. I know a man that used to be a Sunday school teacher, had 10 boys, and one day up and left his wife and went to California and started living with another woman. And he told his youngest son. His youngest son came to me in tears and said, "My dad, would you believe he actually called me and said that he's happy, and I believe God wants me to be happy." We can deceive ourselves, or we can justify ourselves in anything we want to do. And I think that right along there, I know I asked the Lord, "Give me a carefulness." When there's a gray area, when there's something that the Lord knows down the line would be the very thing that would sap the spirituality, my spiritual soul from me, if the Lord knows that, I want to know about it. And I want to stay away from that. And I believe the Holy Spirit will give us a caution, don't you? The Holy Spirit will give us a caution. That thing, well, it's not sin. No, maybe it's not sin. But the Holy Spirit gives you a caution. Don't override that. He's a tender spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. It's for your protection. That is put in the place to protect us. And don't ever override that. Because what you're going to do is you're going to override it to your own hurt. You're going to override it to the damage of your own soul. It's put in place for protection. The Scripture is given to us for these things. It's profitable. And I believe it'd be profitable if we'd be obedient. If we'd be followers of the Lord, followers of His law, of His ways. But, you know, I found that when I didn't follow instructions on putting things together, I break it sometimes. Ever done that? I break it. We don't want to do that with our walk with the Lord. We want to follow it to the letter. Now, I know the Bible says the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And folks, when the Spirit is leading, the song Land of Beulah says, "The Spirit is leading unerring to the land that I hold today." God help us that we'll not justify ourselves. I believe the Lord's grieved this morning with those that are justifying themselves and allowing things to creep back into their heart and into their lives that they one time had convictions for. Lord, help us today. I believe that is a very dangerous thing to do. In Luke, the 18th chapter, I believe I will turn to this scripture. We have a man over here, or a little parable, I guess, the Lord has given. Luke 18 and 9, it says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Well, it said that he spake this parable unto certain that trusted in themselves, and that they were righteous. I believe he was talking to the Pharisees. I believe he was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious folk there at that time. When Jesus came to the earth and he began his ministry, he set up a doctrine. He said, "My doctrine is not mine, but it's my Father's." But he set up a church. He didn't set it up to coincide or work with the church that was there. He set it up separate. He set it up under one God, one Lord, one faith, and one Spirit. He set it up separate of the old Pharisee religious teaching and doctrine that was there at the time. As a matter of fact, that was one of the reasons why they tried to kill him all the time. It's cause that he was disagreeing, or that he was denouncing the way that they were worshiping as under the old law, trying to tell them, "I'm bringing a new and a living way, a new covenant, a new thing that I'm teaching you here." And he didn't set it up to ride right along with them, but he set it up apart from them. And his church is still apart today. Religious thing of the world in it. I can't think of the word that I want. There's nothing to taint this thing. It's still pure. It's still holy, and it's still a godly institution because Jesus set it up that way for you and I. He set it up that way. And I notice here that this man, he's got an idea of what it means to be right on the outside. He's got all this self-righteousness, holiness about him. But folks, there's one thing about you and me. It is so easy for us to see others' faults better than it is ourselves. It's so hard to see ourselves. "Oh, I'm glad I'm not like this man." But this man had a humble heart, didn't he? And this man received help. And he went away justified. He went away with help. Because he humbled himself. Wouldn't even so much as lift up his eyes. Folks, God has set up something for us that's wonderful. That's what we've been enjoying all week. And that's what we'll enjoy when we leave here and drive home. We'll still enjoy it. We enjoy it every day. Folks, we're only going to avail ourselves of this wonderful privilege and this wonderful blessing of being able to have the Lord to lead and guide and direct us by the Holy Spirit as long as we're willing to let Him. He's never going to come along and pick you up by the scuff of the neck and make you go do anything. He's a tender Lord. He's a tender Spirit. He said, you know, "My sheep hear my voice. If we hear His voice, they follow me. If we go up, try to do it any other way, we're the same as a thief and a robber." Sometimes folks, there's folks that they'll go up to the minister and ask him a question, "Got a problem here." Well, the minister didn't give them the answer that they wanted. So they'll go find him another one. To see what kind of answer he gives. "No, he didn't give me the kind of answer I wanted." And they keep going looking for their answer. That's the way we are sometimes. You don't really want to know the truth. You just want to be justified. You just want to be justified. Help us, Lord, help us to be careful along these kind of lines. When instruction does come, and it's anointed instruction, and it's humble instruction, not someone that's trying to ride over your head, not someone that's trying to force it down your throat or make you do anything. But when instruction comes, folks, let's humble ourselves and accept that from the Lord and say, well, Lord, I've got some work to do here. I've got some work to do. I need more grace, Lord. I see what you're showing me. I understand now what you're talking about. It's one thing to get instruction. It's another thing to understand it. But I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit will help you understand what God has given us in His Word. You know, I've gone to folks and asked them for instruction before. But you know what I've done also? I've taken my Bible, opened it up, and laid it down before me, and knelt down and said, Lord, You show me. You open up the Scriptures to me. Help me to understand what You're trying to say here, Lord. And I want to tell you, when the Lord shows you, you'll get a hold of that. And it'll be right, and you won't lose it. You won't lose it. And maybe we can't do that with everything, but we can do that with a lot of things. But it seems like, folks, today we know... I know that's what I ought to do, but I'm not willing to do it, so I'm going to go out here and somehow I'm going to justify myself that I'm going to be allowed to do that. I'm going to be able to do it. And then you find that they're not spiritual. They don't have a testimony. Testimony. There's a scripture in Hebrews that says that before there can be a testimony, there must be a death of the testator. A testimony is not in effect until after the testator. It's not in force, it says, until after the death of the testator. Folks, our testimonies. It's just like a preacher getting up here and preaching. There's no real authority. There's no real anointing unless his life is where it should be with the Lord. There's no power there. There's no authority there unless the life is clean. God doesn't accept anything but a clean sacrifice. That's what He accepts, a clean sacrifice. And it goes the same for every one of us. If I stand up and give a big flowery testimony and something that's way over my head or where I'm living, God doesn't accept that. He requires a death. Except the seed fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Folks, unless you did, you're just abiding alone. You're not abiding with God. Because for some reason you haven't been willing to die to the instructions that He's given you. That's right. To the instructions that He's given us. And really, to me, in my experience, that's basically a lot of what it's about. I need to die to myself. I need to die to those things that I thought I could hold on to. And yet the Lord has come along and He showed me things in my life that were not sin. But He put His hand on that. And He said, I require this. I want you to do this and this and this. And you know, I found that there's a blessing in saying, yes, Lord. There's a blessing. Do you ever seek the Lord for more power? Do you ever seek the Lord for more of His Spirit? I've heard Brother Mark pray so many times, Lord, give us a greater portion of Your Spirit in a greater measure and in a greater way. You know, we may be living in the Spirit today, but you know, tomorrow the Lord may show us something and we're going to have to move up into that if we're going to stay in the Spirit. It's continual, as we talked about, growth. It's a continual growth. Coming to the fullness. Fully grown. That's what that scripture over in Timothy is talking about. Being fully grown. That instruction in righteousness causes us to grow. The understanding comes, the knowledge comes, and we apply it. We hide it in our hearts. Scripture says, laying up in store for the times that are before you. Dear ones, I don't know what we're going to face, but I'm pretty much convinced in my own mind that we're going to face some things a lot harder than we're facing today. As long as we live in this cruel world that we live in, as long as God permits it to stand. So we need to take heed, and we need to accept and receive all that the Lord has for us. Not reject any of it. This eternal Word that we have before us Brother Mansell prayed it in his prayer the other night. He said, "My word shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish."
What a job. I'm going to go tell them, but God already told me you're not going to listen to me because you don't listen to Him. Well, it's a plain, sure fact that you're not going to listen to the preacher if you don't listen to God. God wants us to listen to Him, accept Him, be tender, sensitive to His dealings with us. We say, "Oh, this is not a big thing." To God it is. I believe this with all my heart. If God shows you something in your life, anything, and you say, "Well, that's no big thing," I believe it is to God, or He wouldn't have showed it to you. He would not have pointed it out to you. God doesn't deal with us and put instruction or laws, government on us just to have something to do. He's doing it for my eternal soul. He's doing it for my eternal good. And we as human creatures, if we're not careful, we can back up on that. And we want to justify. We want to put our human reasoning in it. And I think that's a very dangerous place to be. Over in Deuteronomy, I'll finish with this chapter, Lord willing, or with this scripture reading. Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. Listen to the words here. The Word of God that God gave Moses to tell His people. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live." You see, He doesn't give us instructions just to tell us what to do. God's not one. He doesn't come in to be a controlling force in your life just so He can control you. He has a real purpose in it. It says that ye might live. He's talking about living forever, eternal life. He said, listen to the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you and do them. The statutes, His laws, the judgments, the things that govern our moral life, the things that affect us morally. The statutes, the doctrines, the standards, the teachings of the church, if I can say it that way. These things are life to us. He said they're life to you, but He went on to say more than that, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Dear ones, God has got land for us, every one of us, that He wants us to possess. But it's going to take following the instructions. It's going to take loving the Word. It's going to take saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll humble myself. I'll be obedient to all that I know and understand. I won't back up on it. I won't resist it. I'll say yes, Lord, in my heart and do all within my ability to do what God wants me to do." These things are important to God. "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I have commanded you." Listen what He says. "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you." He was a God that the Moabites had set up. And He said, "You saw what happened to him. He didn't last. He didn't mean anything. He's been destroyed. You've seen those kind of things." But He said, "You that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day." Oh, folks, cleaving unto the Lord, cleaving unto His commandments, cleaving unto the law of God, accepting what He tells us, accepting what the Holy Spirit deals with us. It's important to us, folks. We can we cleave unto the Lord, and He says, "You're alive unto this day." It brings life to you, that quickening spirit within us, and causes us to abhor, hate sin. We need to hate sin. "Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land, whether you go to possess it. Keep therefore," listen, "keep therefore and do them, This is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. This is your wisdom and your understanding. You know, I don't know how it is where you live, but I got family, brothers, sister, that's not saved, but they had the same parents I did and were raised the same way I was. I can go over to their house and we can get in a discussion about the Word, and it hasn't been that long since that happened. And let me tell you something, folks. They can tell you how you're supposed to live. They know. They know. And they can also tell you when you're not living it. You see, people know. Notice what he said here. Keep them in doing. This is your wisdom and understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear these statutes and say, surely this is a great nation. There are people, your loved ones, our loved ones are looking upon us and saying, I know that's the way. How many of us have had a loved one? I've had brothers that said, if I ever get saved, I'm not going there, 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 there. I know where I need to go. I know where I need to go, folks. That's safe. That's wonderful. Keep them and do them. But if you don't do them, what kind of an example are we going to be to them? We need to be there for them when their time comes for them to come back to the Lord or come to the Lord. Oh, he said here, keep them and do them. It's your wisdom. It's your understanding. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? What nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments, so righteous is all this law which I have set before you this day? A righteous law. A righteous law that will make us, will cause us, strike that word make, will cause us to be a righteous people. Cause us to be a people that others can look to for example of holiness. Yes, it requires sacrifice. It requires giving up. It requires a forsaking of this world. But I want to say that there are those that are looking on. We're praying for them. I know we're praying for them. I hear the request every service. We must live it before them every day. Because they know. Folks, this is your safety. This is your wisdom. This is your understanding. If you keep His laws, keep His commandments. He told them one place to put them as frontlets before their eyes. That whenever they're standing talking to one another, they can read part of God's law. His Word is so important. And it's an unchanging Word. It's an eternal Word. It's a powerful Word. And it's also a Word that He said, the words that I speak unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day. That's quite challenging to my soul. That when I read something or the Lord reveals something to me in His laws or in His commandments, and I find that it goes against my personal desire or something that I find that I'm a weakness or a fault of my own that I might have, and I find that it goes against that, I find that I better do something about it because I'm going to be judged by it at the judgment day. These words, and then Jesus say one place, these words, they're not mine. These words are not mine. He said, they're my Father's. They come down from my Father's, which is in heaven. See, Jesus had a relationship, a closeness, a oneness with His Father that, you know, He went out into the mountain to pray. He got along with God, folks. And when He did, God gave Him the message. God revealed what He wanted Him to give to you and I. They're not mine, but they're my Father's, which is in heaven. Jesus said, in closing, He said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Something about few there be that go in thereat.
But I want to encourage us here this morning. The way is straight. You got to strip for this race. Strip yourself of self, of the world, of anything that would cause your spiritual fluid to leak out of your soul. But it says, straight is the gate. It's a straight gate. And I'm glad it is. I'm glad it is. Because if it wasn't, misery, sin, and everything that's pitiful in this world try to get through it. The straightness of that gate is a safeguard to you and I. But I want to tell you something. It may be a narrow way, and it may be a straight gate, but the city that it leads to is not narrow and it's not straight. The city is a beautiful city where God dwells. If we'll be willing to take the narrow and the difficult path, it's difficult to the flesh. If we'll be willing to cut off and sacrifice and whatever the Lord requires, the city's not straight. It's just the gate that's straight. Once you get through the gate, folks, you've won it all. You've got it all. No more sorrow. No more sadness. No more devil. No more nerves. No more emotions except joy, joy, joy to be in the presence of God. But folks, it's going to take, and it's a requirement that you and I follow the directions that He gives us daily. It's a daily living, isn't it? He said, take up your cross daily and follow Me. It's a daily life that we live for God. You never know when someone else is looking on. You just don't never know. You may be out in a store someplace. I was at Monarch a few years back. Wife and I went into a camper place up there to get a part for our trailer there. And this fellow walked up to me and he says, excuse me, he says, you two Christians? I said, well, we're trying our best to live for the Lord. He said, I thought so. Not only was it the dress, but he was watching what we were doing, the manner, and how we were conducting ourselves. It's important for us to be the example. We're ambassadors this morning. Let us be those that will make Christ glad. Can't use the word proud. But I want him to be satisfied, accepted. I want to be accepted of Him. That he'll be pleased that we are being the ambassadors that He's called us to be. Amen.